I will have to do, and so you will have to do too. So let me encourage you. There are several things. I have seven different things. I'm not going to talk about them all today. I'm just going to talk about the first one today because this one's one you need to get going on. You need to research and find out who's running, where, what position they're holding. Are you voting for this one or this one? Because in the last year or so, our voting districts changed. And so who are you voting for? Who's running? You need to know those kinds of questions. And what are their positions? Do you agree with them in that, in those positions? Because that will determine whether you'd vote. And you want to ask other people about them. Always ask John Cornegie about the judges, because he happens to know the lawyers who would become judges, since he's a lawyer. And so it's easy to find out from him his just different views. I'll still have to be the one who votes, but I can at least find some things out. So we'd encourage you to do that. I've assigned Bill Smith to help us all in this. And so for those of us who live in Guilford County and in Greensboro area, Bill's going to be checking out on that end of it. I say, okay? So, Jay, you're going to have to start doing that in your place, okay, and figure out who is running in the different elections that you would be affected in. And it's important for us to do that, because if you don't know, what will happen is 2 or 3 days before the election, you'll be running around ferociously trying to figure out what to do if you're conscientious. We need to start it now. That way you don't have to be doing all the other stuff in the future. So that's important. All right, so that's the first thing, and you need to be getting involved in that. And I have several other things, like next time I'll talk about it, I'll be talking about beware, because the political ads are always skewed on both sides. So you need to understand that. You need to go beyond a political ad to find out where people are. So those are important things. Well, I think our nation's special. I hope maybe you do, but I really think our nation is special. And the reason I think that it's special is because of its founding documents. The documents that started us off are kind of special because they're unique in the societies of the world. Those founding documents, you're familiar with them, aren't you? The Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and then coming at the same era, though not in the same year, within the same era, was the Bill of Rights. And those three documents have provided us with a really, really, really good combination for a good foundation. You see, the Declaration of Independence started it off putting forth the principles of what our country would be like. And then the Constitution fleshes out those principles and says, this is how we're going to live these principles. And the Bill of Rights, added onto the Constitution, was added there because several of the members of the Congress were concerned that the government would get so powerful it would overstep its boundaries. So they put the Bill of Rights in. These are rights that we have as individuals. And that came in. Those three documents are very, very special. Other countries don't have those three documents put together that way. And the men who put them together, well, they were kind of special men. We've had, because of those documents, stable government. What's going to be our birthday? What was our birthday last? How many years have we been around? 240 years. That's a long time to live under a constitution. Most of the countries of the world, not all of them, but most of the countries of the world, have constitutions that change within a generation, if not within a decade. Revolutions happen, they change constitution. Ours has lasted for an awful long time. The Constitution has provided also an atmosphere for a lot of creativity. The United States of America has 1/4 the population of the world. And yet in that 1/4 population of the world, we've had patents for inventions, for cures in medicine. We've had people who developed symphonies, and we just have led the world in creating things. Now, other countries do some. They have some specialties. But we run the gamut, and we've constantly done that. This isn't something that's new. This is something that we've done throughout the centuries. It's amazing. We also have had a tremendous level of prosperity among the whole nation. nations of the world. In the 70s, there was a CBS program that was about the poverty in the United States of America. And they did that to embarrass the present administration that was around in the time. And CBS put it on. It was just showing the poverty states in America and how bad poverty was in our country. What happened was it was shown in other countries. When it was shown in other countries, you know what the people said in other countries? We want to go to America. The reason is because even the people that are on the lowest rung, and this is, we don't want anybody being on that low rung, but people in poverty that are below the poverty level in our country are more likely to have a television, to live in air conditioning, have a car, eat meat, and live in a space that's larger than most middle-class people have in Europe. That's why people want to come here. Because even at a low status, they'll do better here than other countries. Our country, I think, is special. We've always been special. We've been blessed. This didn't just start. This has been true for generations. And to keep it that way, we've got to do certain things. George Mason, who was the father of the Bill of Rights, he was the guy who didn't sign the Constitution. And the reason he didn't sign the Constitution, even though he was in the proceedings, was he didn't like it. He felt it would give the power to government too strongly. So he came up with the Bill of Rights, he and a group of others, which means that you have the right for freedom of speech. You understand that? Are people trying to take that away today? Well, on college campuses, it's trying to take it away, trying to make it where you can't do that. I mean, which is crazy because it's supposed to be a university where you have a whole universe of ideas. But anyway, that's where people are going to. You have the right to bear arms. That's the second one. There's so many different things. Freedom of religion is in the first one. There are just so many things. Well, he said this. Listen, no free government or the blessings of liberty can be preserved to any people but by the, can you read it? Frequent reoccurrence. That's a strong way of saying, an old way of saying, a constant review of the fundamental principles. We've got to have these principles just reviewed. If we don't, we lose them. If you ask most college-age people today about things in our government, they're not going to know. I get amazed they go around and show, Jay Leno used to do this, taking pictures of the president and vice president. People knew who the president was, but they didn't know who the vice president, didn't know who the speaker of the house was, didn't know who anybody in government really was other than just the president. And for Christians, you know, folks, we need to be praying for those people. How can you pray for them if you don't even know their name? So God tells us to be involved. You know, Rio started up with sports, right? And the people that are competing in the Olympics, I got to tell you something. They've reviewed the basics a lot. Don't you think? In every discipline, they've reviewed the basics. And you know what you have? You have professional sports players, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, in our country. You know what they do? They go over the basics again and again and the fundamentals. They're just constantly. Why? They're professional. They're making bukus of money. Why do they go over the basics? Because they want to maintain, right? You got to do it if you want to maintain. We've got to do it. I mean, he was right. So, what are the principles of the philosophy, in word it's called, right, of a government? What are the principles? Well, they come in the Declaration of Independence. Let me just read you a short part of that. You know this first part, most people do, because it's at the title it says, the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Do you understand what they're talking about? You know who wrote this, by the way, don't you? He continues, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. It was Thomas Jefferson who wrote these words, "We behold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." You know what our document of Declaration of Independence starts off with? The fact that there's a Creator. That's an amazing statement in the political realm. He said, first of all, we are created. We have a divine Creator. That's the first step to limiting government. Because it says to government, you're not the final authority. You're not the most important. See, governments tend to grow and get to think that they're that way. They move into dictatorship, and they really think they're that way. This is how you keep it down. You have God being the one who's the most important. There's a passage in the Scriptures. It really relates to Israel, but I think the first part of it relates to any nation. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." You know why? Because they understand there's someone above the leaders to whom they're accountable. And our nation started off that way, which is very, very special. The Bill of Rights, let me show you how this sort of played out. The Bill of Rights was completed on September 25th, 1789. So September 25th is always Constitution Day. Did you know that? Most people didn't know that, but we celebrate that. People know about it some people know about it every year. The members of the Congress who were putting this together started a discussion, and they noted how Israel, in times of national blessing and times of national accomplishments, went before the Lord. They went to 2 Chronicles chapter 5-7, where Solomon dedicates the temple. And they recognized there were times of thanksgiving that were set aside. And so they took a vote in Congress, and they wrote to the President of the United States, and they said to George Washington, "Would you proclaim a day of thanksgiving because we now have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights complete? Our government package is complete." You know what George Washington did? You can't see this, but this is an actual copy of the document that went out, the proclamation by the President. He said these words: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." As he sent out that proclamation, that's how he begins it. Isn't that neat? There are four things that are there. He first of all says it's the duty. It's really interesting how words change over years. Have you noticed? You know? To say something is bad went for a period of time to where that meant good. Right? You know that, right? Because language changes. Language is always dynamic. It always changes. You know what the word duty meant back when George Washington used it? Duty meant a legally binding contractual obligation. You know, those of you who are buying homes or bought a car, or even gotten a cell phone, you write down on a contract, that becomes a legally binding document. You know what George Washington said? We have a legally binding obligation. It's our duty to acknowledge God. Isn't that amazing? In the year 1913, duty meant a responsibility. You know what duty means today, according to the dictionary? It means that which one ought to do. Boy, there's a big difference between what you ought to do, because that means you might not, and what's a legally binding contract, isn't it? See what Washington was saying? Washington was saying it's a legally binding contractual agreement that we need to acknowledge God. It's amazing. You see why I think it's very special, this country we live in? It's because of its founding. He said nations have a duty to do these things, to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, that God's over everything. Second thing, to obey His will. Where do you find the will of God? In their day, there was only one place. In our day, this is the place that's very, very clear what God says, right? To be grateful for all His benefits. That's recognizing that He's the one who grants these. And finally, to humbly implore His protection and power. That's to pray. That's to ask Him for help. So, I think our country's special. Ben Franklin was asked after the Congress met to put forth the Constitution, what kind of government do we have, Mr. Franklin? And he said, a republic as long as you can keep it. Because it needs to be something that's reviewed regularly and held to by God's people. Well, our time is sort of up, so I want to pray with you for our country. Would you join with me? Because we need God to work. That's what Washington said. We need to follow through on that. So, Lord, we come before You. We recognize it's our duty to come and acknowledge You as people who live within a country. And we thank You for Your working in the lives of the men who put together our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And we know that their wives had influence upon these men. We recognize that, Lord. We thank You for these people who You used to bring about this nation. And we thank You for all the wonderful things that this nation has been able to accomplish over the centuries. We recognize we have also had problems. And we recognize that there's been corruption. And we recognize there have been wrong decisions by leadership. But we thank You, Lord, that You've had Your hand upon us. And as we step into the election season this year, we would like to ask that You would have Your hand again upon our nation. It seems, Lord, that people get the kind of leaders they deserve. That's who they choose in their democracies. We would like to have the person of Your choice. And while this year, it's kind of strange because we see that the two candidates that are out there both have big flaws. We still recognize that unless You come back or something explodes, one of them will be president by the beginning of next year. So, Lord, we'd like to ask that You would have Your hand upon our country, that the proper person would be chosen. We thank You, Lord, that You have shined Your face upon our nation. You have blessed us richly, and we recognize the source of that blessing. And we'd ask You, please, to continue to do that. We know, Lord, that when Jonah went to Nineveh, a wicked city, terrible city, he just simply went through and told them to repent. And You, Lord, forgave them their sins. And Jonah's gripe with You was, he said, for I knew You were gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. We know, Lord, that's who You are and that's how You are. And we pray, Lord, that You would show favor again upon our nation. We humbly come before You and confess that we have killed many babies in the womb. We humbly confess before You that we've held people in slavery, and still that does take place in our country even. we humbly come before you and confess that there has been corruption and we've just looked the other way. We confess, Lord, that people in power have abused those who are under their control. And we know that's wrong. But we thank you, Lord, there's forgiveness with you. Would you please forgive and bring about healing in our land? Because we recognize that no political candidate from any party, in any position, from a person sitting on a council all the way up to the president, can bring about the change in the hearts of people. We ask, Lord, you to do that, please. That we might continue to stand as a place that sends millions of dollars and many people out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And remember, every time you see a political ad, pray for our country. You'll do a lot of praying for our country in the next days. But it'll keep you from exploding and getting upset. So pray for our country. Ask God to bless. Well, thanks a lot. We hope you have a good week as you walk with the Lord Jesus. We're dispersed.